Do you remember in vivid detail your first day on the job? Of course you do. We all do. Looking back on my first job in a bank as a teller, I can remember what I wore for the interview. I can remember how hopeful I was that I would get the job. When my soon-to-be boss, Miss Helen, offered me the job, I was thrilled. I had no experience, and Miss Helen took a chance on me. She needed me to start the next day. I showed up early and came to the only door I knew about. That's right, the front door. I saw people on the other side of that door working. It was a glass door. I could see them, but not one of them looked at me. They completely ignored me. I rapped on the door. No one even flinched or looked up. That was my first training experience working in a bank lobby. If someone is at the door and we aren't open for business yet, don't look at the door. Well, the end of that short story is that eventually somebody took pity on me and finally let me in. We all have memories, don't we? We have memories we won't forget that are related to our work world. I'm Honey Shelton, your host for Training Matters. Each month, our guests share their expertise and experience that are related to their careers.
Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Our guest today is Vicki Cry. I met Vicki recently when we both had the honor to speak for the Nebraska Bankers Association Women in Banking Conference. I really liked Vicki's message and her background. I thought she'd be a perfect guest and very excited to have her here today. And this will be my opportunity to learn more about Vicki and to introduce her to our listening audience.
Thanks, honey, for this opportunity.
Vicki, I know you were a banker before you started your consulting business. Tell us about your career as a banker.
I grew up in actually a small rural community bank environment in rural Nebraska. It was a town of about 1,400 people. I'm going to date myself here when I talk about what I loved about being in the bank, because I grew up in it. And so using the 10-key adding machine to keep a running total of our remittance that we would send into our upstream correspondent bank, counting and balancing the one cash drawer that we had, filing checks alphabetically, and filing the pink notices at the time, and I didn't know what those were. And then when I learned that those were people that actually put their account into overdraft, I just didn't think that something like that could happen. So loved the community bank environment growing up, but never had a desire. When I left for college, I wanted to be in banking, and I didn't let myself think differently, but I wanted to explore banking in the big city of Lincoln, Nebraska, which I thought was really big at the time. During college in Lincoln, I was hired on to be a teller in a drive-up location, and this was just awesome. Honestly, when I look back over my banking career, the most rewarding job was being a teller. Just loved working with the customers one-on-one. From that, I actually had an opportunity to go into the credit card division, and they were looking for part-time people to just come in and analyze credit card applications. I thought, well, I'm a finance major. That sounds like something I could do. From there, I actually ended up after college heading up the credit card division on the credit analysis side, and one of the fun things that we got to do was launch the Cabela's credit card. So I had to figure out how to process 1,000 from going from 1,000 applications a month to processing 1,000 a day. So really quickly went into the world of technology and automation. Was a lot of fun. Spent 12 years doing credit card world. And then our family bank had gone through the 80s and the farm crisis, and it wasn't in such good shape. And so I cautiously said I would maybe come back, help, do a little bit of work for the bank on the side. It wasn't a clear, I'm going to head back to the family bank. It was a gradual decision. I knew I was a fixer, and I knew I was a problem solver, but I really didn't want to be a bank president. But that did soon follow. It was a project. I took it on. but it was for my family. And I knew I needed to surround myself with people who I could trust and could help me, because the bank was in trouble and there was a lot of work ahead of me. That's where I launched my community banking career.
Wow, Vicki, what a wonderful experience. And I thought it was very fun to hear how naive you were about different things. I think sometimes that really fuels courage when we leap into things and then the picture expands so rapidly. So I really got a picture when you talked about processing 1,000 applications a month to moving that into by the day. And I know a lot of our listening audience goes through these same kind of experiences of being very surprised by how quickly technology or a change in regulation or a change in the economic conditions come into play into the world that they try to make it happen. The other thing you talked about that I really related to was being a drive-through teller. I loved being a teller as well. It's the only job I think I ever had that I knew at the end of the day I actually finished my day. So today, bring us up to date. Tell us about your company, VK Solutions, what you do, and the type of clients you work with.
It was interesting that after I sold the bank, we sold the bank in 2009, and it was in good shape. It was time. It was a good decision for us to do that. And I always knew I wanted to stay in banking because I just have a passion for it, and I guess because I grew up in it, and that's what I love and do. So I didn't really start anything formal. I just said, you know what, I'm available. People in Nebraska and in Kansas know who I am. So I just kind of put my name out and said, hey, I'm available if you guys need any help with anything within your organization. And I had taught at the schools of banking for the NBA and the KBA, so people had seen me in a setting with coaching and teaching. And so I kept busy for a couple of years, really doing a lot of strategic planning, helping. There was a couple of banks actually helped. They were in regulatory trouble, and so tried to bring in some leadership and guidance for that, because since I had experienced that myself. So 2 years into my company, which I really hadn't formalized that much, it's like, well, maybe I should make myself look a little bit more professional. And so that's what I've started to do, is let people know what I am doing, because now I'm meeting up with these bankers and they're saying, well, I didn't know that you did this. So trying to formalize myself a little bit. But I really enjoy working one-on-one with employees. Talent management is something that I thrive on. Customer service, and I actually like to call it the customer experience. I really like to go in and help banks have a better retail experience, work with banks on putting all the right people, I call it, in the right seats on the bus, spending time on identifying people's strengths and then letting them do more of that.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned talent management, and I enjoyed looking at your website and getting a little more acquainted with what you do. Why don't you give us an overview? I think our listeners would enjoy hearing how you go about assisting a community bank with talent management.
You know, I have a passion for growing and developing people. There are people who really like to be in charge and in control of everything, and that's just not me. I never was that as a leader. I love to actually coach, teach, and empower people into being the best that they can be, and I love watching people grow into great leaders and mentoring them through that process. So I started focusing on talent management actually because of projects that I started with banks that usually started with facilitating a strategic planning session. That's commonly how I get into a bank and spend time with them, get to know them. But a common theme was emerging is, are we spending time on what I call the people portfolio? And at the end of the day, a lot of the issues that were coming up in the banks as to why they couldn't get to the next level is, are we spending time on our people the right way? And do we really have all the right people in the right seats on the bus? We were focusing more on trying to improve where your areas of weakness were, and we weren't spending time on strengths. And I just think this is so key to the success of any service-based business, and especially a community bank. We don't spend enough time or money on this. You know, what happens when you have the wrong person answering the phone for the bank? That's your first impression. You know, that those are some key positions that maybe we know that we don't have the best person doing it, but we never do anything about it. Or we sometimes will take a really good loan officer and promote them to a manager, and then we don't take the time to teach them or coach them, or just, you know, we just assume that they can lead a team because they can make a good credit decision. And I'm not saying that you can't develop these people, but we need to have a process to manage and develop these individuals. And I don't know, through this, I've kind of come up with some proven processes and tools to help both the bank and the kind of be the advocate for the employee. You know, and again, I think it all goes back to focusing on your strengths, let you do more of what that is. And it's like, wow, what a concept. If someone's really good with people, why do we have them in the back room? So kind of going through that process, and it's kind of like a career development path. I use profiling tools, and some of it is really helpful even with job matching. So you can take a good job, what you see as a good leader or a manager, and then run someone's profile up against it to see if, wow, would this make a good fit for someone? Are we setting people up into the right positions? I thrive on this. It's great to help banks with placing the best people in the best positions and then actually watching them grow. Sometimes you run into, oh, maybe this person shouldn't be on the bus. But in many cases, and it's all how you go about it, they kind of figure that out on their own. They see by going through a profiling process and an interview and a career path and looking at the bank's organizational goals. And I've had people come to me and say, you know what, I really don't belong here. And then as an organization, you try to help them find a different situation for them that's best for you. It's best for the people that were working with them. And it sends people off on a good note. That's a quick version of talent management, but something I really, really enjoy.
Your passion for that really comes through, Vicki. I can hear that, and I so agree with your approach. Because someone's done something a long time, or because that's always the way we've done it, doesn't mean that's the way we need to keep doing it, or that the way the job has changed or developed may not be the right match for an employee. It's certainly a sticky situation. And like you, I interface with financial institutions routinely that's their struggle. How do we get where we want to go with who we have? And what if who we have doesn't want to go where we're trying to go? And it is, I think it's a real sticky situation. And not to toot our horn as consultants, but I do think that's the great advantage of having someone from the outside who's currently seeing the inside of different companies and how they do things to bring fresh ideas or to be the stimulus to introduce new thinking and new concepts. And so I really support you in that. And I'm like you, that's probably the most exciting part of my work is when you see that come together.
We want to stay in touch with you. Are you signed up for our blog and newsletter? Have you shopped in our online store? We have plenty to share with you, including our calendar that will show you where we will be and what we're up to. Pay a visit to interaction-training.com to sign up for our complimentary blog and newsletter. Directly from the homepage, you can click on the store and on the calendar.
You mentioned the customer experience, but I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about what you mean by the customer experience and, you know, what are some things you tell a financial institution who really wants to knock it out of the park when it comes to the customer experience?
You know, I do. I handle the customer experience with the same approach as talent management. You know, when it comes to the customer experience, I just believe we must see all things through the lens of the customer to really gain a competitive edge. And I like to go into banks and help them through that process, because if we can't win the customer experience, as a community bank, how are we going to compete? Because we're competing against banks, more importantly, non-bank competitors for our market share. You know, customers have a choice, and if we don't handle every interaction with some type of a wow, like I like to say, and sometimes that sounds warm and fuzzy, but if we don't do it, someone else will. And I think this is a process that you need to go through with every policy or procedure you make, is in those meetings, you know, see everything through the lens of the customer. And if, as a manager, or if your auditor is in those meetings, bring in one of those fresher, newer tellers, because they are better sometimes at seeing things through the lens of the customer. And, you know, ask them, you know, how do you perceive this? And those folks, even though they may haven't been with your bank for very long, they've got a great perspective from the customer. And if you see things, like I said, through the lens, then you can take a look at, we want to make banking simple, easy, personable, and we really want to anticipate what the customer wants. And I know we have regulations and we have to follow those, but we can still do some things to really wow our customers or make them feel like they're really special when they walk in. And I always say when I go into banks and I coach retail groups is, in your mind, when you guys go places, where do you go where you just feel like you've got service over the top and someone's maybe thought of something ahead of you and they've made life easier for you? Aren't these the experiences that we get really excited to tell somebody about? Well, I want people to be saying that about our community bankers' experience that they've had. And this is actually a very simple process to go through with the daily interactions that you have with your customers. It's just getting the entire retail team on board to start thinking this way. And even looking at your products, you know, another quick story I will tell is I was working with a bank on, they originally asked me to just come in and do some retail training. Well, of course, I was I loved to do it, excited, energized about that. But I also said, okay, let's look at your product offerings. And so we started looking at their brochures and the different products. A lot of it was pretty complicated. You get charged a fee for this if you have 10 debits here, or it will credit back this. And I kind of looked over the brochure, and one of the gals, a teller, probably in her 20s, she looked at me and she goes, I don't like to sell these accounts. She said, they're really hard to sell. And I kind of chuckled when she said that. And then another gal in the room, and again, at this point, management wasn't in the room. I was just with some retail folks having a good time looking over their products. And another one said, I don't even bank here anymore, but I have an account just to put my paycheck in. And I thought, you know, these are the things, and, you know, banks, sometimes we're just asleep at the wheel with looking at our deposit products. And I was in the same boat 12 years ago. I started really looking at our accounts and said, wow, this isn't even exciting to sell. What are we doing here? You know, we train our folks to do really good teller transactions and balancing, and we don't focus on that retail experience. Are we excited when that customer walks in the door? So I went through this personally through our bank before I, you know, went out and worked with bankers. And so it's fun. It's watching this process come alive and have people seeing everything through the lens of the customer. And it can have such an impact on waiting on those customers. So, again, I could probably continue to talk more and more about the retail experience. it's something I just love and have a passion for, and it's fun to help bankers see a more exciting part to opening an account.
Oh, that was great, Vicki. I'm just nodding my head like I can picture our listeners are too, about what we want to have happen and how you, as you so well put it, you know, through the lens of the customer, how do they see it? Oftentimes when I talk about it too, I'll say, you know, how hard is it to do business with Amazon? What all does Amazon do to make it easy to be their customer, exciting to be their customer? And this is without even an exchange between you and another person. And I think that Amazon has become the lead retailer because they do look at their business through the lens of the customer. You know, what does the customer want when they do business with them?
And of course, traditionally, as community-minded financial institutions, the way we've differentiated ourselves more than any other way, in my opinion, is how we embrace our community and take care of our customer. And so we can begin to believe that both of those things are happening when, in fact, we've not advanced the skill sets, the training, the thinking, the product. So I found your conversation about that very encouraging, that there is plenty that can be done. And, you know, are the products easy to understand, easy to use kind of thing? So really enjoyed that.
Save the date for our next Train the Trainer Boot Camp, February 23rd through the 26th, 2016. You will want to be there. We will have candidates for certification enrolled in the advanced week. And for those of you wanting to excel as a trainer, or those of you wanting to become a certified bank training professional or a certified credit union training professional, the boot camp is the first of 5 steps you will take. Make plans to join me in Houston the last week of February.
One other thing that I wanted to tap into your expertise about is that many of our listeners and people who follow our blog and newsletter are people who are responsible for encouraging employees to be engaged and enthusiastic about their work. But what advice do you have for the leadership of a community bank to promote employee engagement, to get the employee excited and involved?
Thanks, honey. Again, I probably have as much fun and passion with this topic as I do with the others. I absolutely love to work with banks and companies in general, but definitely community banks on employee engagement. And it is perceived sometimes as kind of the fluff stuff, the warm and fuzzy. But when you look at national statistics, 60%, this is nationwide across all industries, 60% of our workforce is disengaged. And it's a national statistics that has come out from Profiles International. Well, think about that. I see that as an opportunity. And I think many companies or banks shy away from employee engagement because they think, oh, the HR division has to come up with now a new employee engagement program. And I think the other misconception there is who is responsible for employee engagement? And I'll challenge people in the room to say, you know what, it's about everybody. Everybody should have some part in employee engagement, whether you're a teller or you're the manager or ownership, everybody can actually participate in employee engagement. And again, I see lots of opportunities just to even do lots of little things that can make a big difference on the people being engaged and excited to come to work. And you know what? Then it's a win-win situation for both the employee and the employer. A couple of stories that I have had some success with. Sometimes bringing someone in from the outside, it's a safer process to do. Sometimes the employees are more willing to share with someone that's not maybe their boss or their counterpart. So I like to come in, whether it's doing interviews with employees, or I have a lot of forms that managers can use, or coming in and training even managers on very simple things that they can do for employee engagement. But one of the very easiest things is you know what, if you want to know how to engage your employees or what it is that excites them, how about asking them? And I think sometimes we think there's an approach of a one-size-fits-all. Oh, well, here's the things that get people excited. It's time off. It's food. It's a pat on the back. When in reality, you need to ask that of each individual person because everybody has a little bit different twist on really what motivates them. And I like to see managers take time to do career path coaching with their employees. That increases your engagement. You know, wow, someone's sitting down with me, talking to me about my career goals. There's just some simple different strategies that managers and coworkers can do with employee engagement. I do a team building session for a bank a couple times a year. They do some brainstorming and everything. And one of the questions I always ask is, okay, here in your bank, what is it that you suggest that we could do to motivate employees and keep them engaged? I've had six sessions in a row over the last couple of years. And no one ever, ever says, I need to make more money. It's never a money issue. It's always things about, you know what, I want to be recognized in a newsletter, or let's have a food day, or I would like to have time off above and beyond, you know, maybe like a half day, you know, extra PTO time. So it's asking and understanding what each individual person gets excited about on your team, and then just trying to do a lot of little things, and it can make a huge difference in the engagement and the atmosphere in the organization. What happens when we have those employees and they are disengaged and then they stay? What kind of environment have we created there?
Oh, that was great. I agree. And I know you quoted Profiles International, and I often quote Gallup, who says, just in America, employee disengagement cost the economy between $450 and $550 billion a year. So it is a very expensive, even what I would go so far as saying, liability, that when ignored is putting a lot of things that should and could happen at risk, including how contagious it is. Well, Vicki, this has been great. I've so enjoyed the opportunity to hear more about you and what you do and how you do it. And I know that our listeners appreciate the opportunity to hear some new and fresh ideas about talent management, the customer experience, employee engagement. I'm sure down the line there will be an opportunity to have you back on our show, but I want to thank you for being with us today, and I'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and hope that our paths cross again.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.